Welcome to Beauty as a Birthright, a podcast where we decode the evolving concept of beauty from a multidimensional lens. In this space, we embark on a journey with engaging guests from all walks of life to figure out if beauty is a birthright, then what's our legacy? So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone. So in our last episode, we had a special guest, Claudia Soto from Melbourne. She's a London-born, Melbourne-based Spanish-Chilean yoga and Pilates teacher and the creator of Cloud Sways, a space to encourage people to move their bodies for all reasons. And I've been following Claudia for a while now. And so I was so excited to chat with her. Hi, Paige.
Hi, Tamsin. Claudia was so fun. I loved, well, of course, as an American, you just like love people's accents. it just pulls you in even more, but I just loved all the things that she shared, and it was so positive, but so real and not like in your face, but just like, this is the authentic version and expression of myself and what I want to do and how I want to inspire people. Like, she had great energy.
She has great energy. It's like, you know, she's so optimistic and really grounded, right? Like, she's not up in the air, even though her brand name is Cloud Sway. She's like super grounded and real. And yet, like, she's gone through so much in her life that I think oftentimes when people have gone through a lot in their life, they're either bitter or sometimes it's hard to relate to them, even though like I've gone through a lot in my life. But with Claudia, she's still approachable and like open to listen. And I'm like such a big fan of her content, because like, she does such an amazing job.
Well, she's also so funny.
Yeah, she's so funny. Her content is hilarious.
And there's like sarcasm and satire, and like, it's just so tongue-in-cheek. Funny.
Yeah, I was just looking at it yesterday. I was like, oh my God, I like laugh out loud when I see her stuff. So, you know, we talked a lot of different things with Claudia, like her mom's influence with yoga and Pilates. And that's how she came to yoga and Pilates, is through her mom. And her mom had recently passed away after battling cancer. And Claudia was really open about talking about her journey with loving her body. And so what came up for you when you were chatting with her?
Well, you know, I think the big one that really shook me, because I think a lot of people can actually resonate with this in a way that's unhealthy, was how her mom was so obsessed with her body and body image and weight for as long as Claudia could remember. And even in her last days, she said that she was apologizing to the staff at the hospital or hospice, wherever she was. And she was saying like, I'm so sorry that I look like this. And Claudia was like, oh my God, mom, like really now, even in your last moments. And then she mentioned how her mom finally did achieve this like slim figure or lighter weight, but it's because she was about to pass. And that's very obviously a really extreme example, but I can just think, you know, recently I had COVID, and I remember because of my autoimmune condition, and I barely had an appetite for a week, and I weighed myself and I didn't lose a single pound. And I remember being like, oh, only me with like a autoimmune thyroid condition would not eat a whole week and still not lose a single pound. Like, I had that thought, and then I like brought me back to what Claudia was saying. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Instead, I should be saying, whoa, my body's so smart and so wise that under famine, it can survive and it can still hold its weight and strength under these conditions. Like, I should be celebrating that and feeling like I could weather, you know, like months, God forbid, if I ever was in like a survivor situation, I would win. Like, so that was interesting for me. I don't know. What about you, Tamsin? I'm sure parts of this you could probably resonate with.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the, like when she was talking about her mom, and it's like, sometimes I I think when you're a child of immigrant parents, it's like, sometimes it's so hard to understand. And lately I've been thinking, I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with Claudia's like personally, but lately I've just been thinking about all these people who talk about their experience as children of immigrants, and specifically like Asian people. And it's often so harsh on the parents, right?
Yeah.
Without this understanding that like, yo, they grew up in a different generation, in a different country, sometimes in a war-torn country, like sometimes in the middle of the war. And so, you know, I think there just lacks some compassion, like when you think about parents, and like, or maybe not that, it's like, it's so hard to see them as human beings because we see them as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we see them as humans, it's like a shock. Like I still like, I remember that day where I was like, oh, my parents are humans. And then now it's like, okay, now we can like work on our relationship. But still, even to this day, when they do something that's human, you want your parents to be this like perfect model example of who you should be. And when they, mm-hmm. When they're just acting like humans, it's really hard to understand that. But with Claudia, like she had I feel like she had a lot of compassion for her mom, you know, like she understood that. And the fact that it didn't like really like twist her life. And I feel like it could have really impacted her life negatively, but she managed to take that and create something. And then she even did that with the pandemic. Like I think hearing Claudia's story, I was like, wow, she's resilient. And like, she even said it. She's like, I didn't really have a plan. It's like, I just did this and this and this. And it's mm-hmm. like, it was just great to hear her story.
Well, the interesting thing is what she used to cope was the very things that her mom had introduced her to. So she mm-hmm. talked about movement yeah. and Pilates and yoga and how moving through the grief and hardship is what helped her get through it all. And then she leaned on that again through her platform of Cloudsways during the pandemic when she had lost a lot of or most of her in-person business. So that yeah. part too is like that gift that keeps on giving even with her mom had departed. She was still able to utilize the skills that her mom introduced her to and the hobby interest and passion that got her through these times.
Yeah. And she paused like, I guess all of us during pandemic, but it sounded like how she came to Cloudsways is that like, it was just a lot of good timing in this weird serendipitous way, right? Like her mom passed away. We went into pandemic. She had this time to grieve. And then she like, managed. I think when you grieve, it's like so messy. And so like last month and a half, I've been grieving and it came out of nowhere because it's like a death that happened like almost 10 years ago. And it was different this time. And in the middle of it, it was like so dark and I had never been like this deep. But then like, as I was grieving, I was also experiencing beauty. Like I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced, like crying, like it's not everywhere, mm-hmm. so messy. Mm-hmm. And like, because I was like, I can't believe that I can feel this deeply for another person. And I'm not sure if other people can feel this deeply for another person unless you've really lost someone. And so it was like so painful, but also so beautiful and like crying. And then like, there was this clarity. It just felt like at one point I was like, I don't know if I can get through this. Like this has been like a month and a half of like me waking up every day and crying and being like, okay, today I'm not going to cry because I literally cried for hours yesterday, but I'm like, oh mm-hmm. shit, here we go again. I'm going to cry again. And then there was this like clarity. I think when we are able to process grief and go through it, then there is this moment of clarity where like things just look new. Right. And it sounds like that was like what happened with Claudia. It's like she had that time to pause because the whole world paused a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being like really helpful for her.
Right. So what, yeah, it's so interesting, this thing about grief though, Tamsin, and how it's not linear. You know, they talk about the process or steps of grief, and they're never like, it's never really in the order that's presented in psychology. And there isn't like this timeline of, I remember when my auntie passed away, it's been 17 or 18 years now. And just, I would say 6 years ago, so 12 years in, my uncle finally cleaned my auntie's closet.
Wow.
And I remember telling this to a friend and they were like, oh my God, it's been so long. And they weren't trying to be like judgy, but that was just like, you know, their natural reaction to it. And I was like, yeah, I guess, but there was no rhyme or reason for him. It was just like one day. And I remember it was a big thing. Like he called my mom and he's like, I'm going through Linda's clothes. He calls me Pahe. He's like, can Pahe come and pick them up? And like, I had to be there within a few hours. Cause it was like, that was the moment he was finally ready. 12 years later, he finally cleaned her closet. The family had to show up and pick everything up for him.
Oh, that's so nice that everyone was there.
Right. But it was just so like, it's true. Like there isn't really and for you 10 years later, and you really felt it maybe in the deepest sense, right? Given,
I don't know. I feel like every moment, every time you experience it is so different. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's why you just have to sit with it. Oh, I'm curious with your uncle, like, did something happen or did he just wake up? I'm like, this is the day.
I think it was more along those lines.
Wow. Yeah. Sometimes yeah. Like that.
And then we just all went with it, you know, we're like, all right, we're showing up, we're picking it all up and we're reliving all of her clothes 12 years later.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you?
It was.
For other people in the family?
Yeah. I think it was just like, it was kind of surreal. And I don't know if he had still, I mean, truth be told, I don't know if he was still cleaning them and like washing them and having them professionally cleaned because.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because in Hawaii, it's so humid and it's so muggy that when clothes sit for a long time, they develop like mold and mildew.
Yeah.
If you're not wearing and washing them. And her clothes didn't have any of that.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if he had been washing them and pressing them and it was like in mint condition. So I don't know if that was like, you know, we haven't asked him. I still have that really traditional Chinese family on my mom's side, but I feel like that may have been part of his routine. And
damn, that's his
grieving process.
That's so beautiful. That's like so respectful. And like, I don't know. I know some people would probably think like, that's just strange, but I'm like, wow, that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Right. So what other things, Tamsin, have come up for you since we spoke with Claudia or even just within her episode?
One thing about Claudia that I really love is that she's very much about modifications. And I don't know, have you done Pilates?
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Because we're both Virgo. So you would think like that is like the Virgo exercise, like the thousands, you know, like it's so Virgo.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone to good Pilates and I've gone to not good Pilates, you know.
Yeah,
I like.
I've never used the machine. Have you used the machine?
Oh, I love the machines.
Really? Oh man, I feel like that's gonna really rip my core.
What do you think of Pilates? I think you mentioned in the episode you didn't love Pilates,
huh?
You don't love Pilates, right?
No, I hate it. Like every time I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Pilates. And then I get to class. I'm like, wow, I really hate this. And you would think somebody that's such a control freak and that's so meticulous about things would like, this would be the workout that I'm drawn to. And I find it so uptight. I find it so like restricting and like not fun, but I think a lot of that is this pressure of like even the forms, it's like to do these exercises your body has to look a certain way, right?
Yeah.
And I love that Claudia offers modification. So when I saw mm-hmm. that in her content, I was like, why don't we do, like, why don't they offer this in class? Like alternatives, you know? And like, and it's a type of body where it's like, yeah, maybe you, if you worked out all the time, you could get that body. But really it's like, you have to be born with that kind of body. Whereas other types of exercises, I feel like even if you're not born with that type of body, you can still do something like similar.
That's so true. Cause so much of the postures, like if you have a stomach, it gets in the way. You're not able to do them.
Yeah. If you have a stomach, you have boobs, you have hips, you can't do anything. You literally have to be like a stick.
The weird thing too, is I've done Pilates so much and it has not changed, sculpted, toned my body.
And you did it like consistently and
yes.
Mm.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know maybe because there's no weight involved. Like it's not a, I have no idea.
Body weight. Yeah.
Yeah. Just body weight.
But what about you? What have you been going through this last week or so?
Yeah. So I've mentioned to you and I did, you know, I already shared previously on this episode about having COVID. I've been really intentional and it's been really helpful. So I deleted all of my social media apps and whoa. I can go on them via my computer when I want to, which is turning out to only be like 10 minutes a day.
Mm.
And I still do what I need to do in those 10 minutes to make sure that I'm still relevant and generating business for my small businesses. And then I'm just trying to spend a lot more quality time with my son instead of half working, half with him.
Okay. Wait, how do you spend only 10 minutes on social media? Like,
I just go in and I do a post if I have to post, or I repost stories if people posted stories, and then I shut down.
And then, so you create content in 10 minutes too?
Yes.
Man, this is like mom time management. Like, yeah. I feel like you're really good on time, but this is like on another level. Okay. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. And then when I'm with my son, I'm like 100% with my son. So my phone is like not in reach. And I did talk to him about boundaries though. And like, if I can only play with him for X amount of time, that's what it's going to be. And we both have to be grateful about it. And then the other thing that's been big, but I'm trying not to get too ahead of myself due to my history, is I'm really cut down on sugar.
Okay. What does that mean?
So, you know, while I was going through COVID, I just kept thinking like, so sweet. A friend of mine delivered food to me and she knows how much I like sweets and she included like nice sweets in there. And then I remember being like, viruses love sugar.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't have them. And then I'm like, I think everything not good loves sugar for me in that moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have it. And then it kind of just made me realize how much I depend on it for like energy and what I think is giving me endurance and stamina, but long-term it was actually obviously doing the opposite. So I've just been having natural sweeteners like honey, maple syrup, and dates, things like mm-hmm. that. But I'm not having my like refined white processed sugars.
Was it hard? Is it hard to like switch over?
Not yet. So, but I'm also in a really good place hormonally, like on my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning mid cycle. So the latter half of my cycle, I don't know like what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's been like pretty big for me and I'm feeling really good. And I'm just trying to like keep it up and not think about it too much.
Sugar is hard on the brain. Like they've done research where sugar activates the brain like a drug.
Yeah.
And sugar is in everything. And I think it's so hard to make dietary changes. I don't know if other people go through this, but I know, like, I feel like it's an Asian thing too, but I'm so curious if other cultures go through this. Like when you can't eat something But people buy it for you or bring it over for you because they know you love it, right? And then you have to constantly tell, I cannot eat this anymore. I can't eat this anymore. But like they do it out of love, you know, and it's like, and I've gone through like things that I can't eat and just telling people like, I can't eat this. And I have no self-control because if it's in front of me, I will eat it. And that's why like, I don't have it in my house. Sugar's not my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a sweet tooth, but like other things, like if I have it in the house, I'll eat it. And like, I'm very strict.
I never asked you like, what is your thing with food? So it's not sugar. Bread. Oh, bread,
carbs, pasta, like my dream food. I've never had this before, but I've thought about this for like 20 years. And like, sometimes I still think about it. I want to get like a big loaf of bread and then I want to stuff it with pasta and like I have a pasta sandwich, like carbs on carbs. I mean, that is sugar, right? But a different type. I can't have
that with cheese. So uninteresting to me.
Oh my God. Because you're a sweet person. Oh my God. It's like my carb. Sometimes I just like lay in bed and I think about this, this carb on carb pasta sandwich.
It sounds like it has no flavor. Like,
I mean, there's like marinara sauce and like maybe some cheese. I don't know. But I'm like crazy over bread and pasta, but I can't eat it because it hurts my joints. I don't have celiac, but I am gluten sensitive.
I see.
And and then my sugar will go up,
right?
And then I'll come crashing down because I'll be starving. So even if I it's like trying to find a balance with it. And yeah, like, oh man, it's hard. I'll even just go to like a cafe and just like go around and smell the bread and then just leave. Like, it's literally like an addiction.
This is really interesting.
Yeah.
But are you, how much of this is a texture thing?
No, not
like,
texture.
Do you love that like soft?
No, I don't care.
Oh.
Yeah, it could be croissants, it could be pastries, it could be ciabatta, it could be sourdough, it could be... It's, I don't know. It's the bread and really pasta is like, especially if it's like good pasta, like fresh pasta, no control. I eat it.
So what about, have you been to Italy?
No, my family, my aunt is from Italy. So we have families there, but
okay.
I want to go there, but I'm also scared, but I also know I have to go there emaciated, but I also know that like the food in Europe is different,
yes,
you know, than our food. Right. And so it's like, I've even had friends who have celiac go to Italy, eat pasta, eat the bread and they don't get sick.
Exactly.
And so, and then for me, it's like, I think portion control because I binge eat and that's been my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will eat so mindlessly and I can eat a lot. So that becomes a problem. And so I think in America, like the portions are so huge now that I've been really conscious of like how much I eat in terms of portion size, just cause I wasn't feeling good and I was feeling sick afterwards. And people don't talk about that in terms of food addictions, like binge eating.
Oh, I know. Right.
Right.
It's such an afterthought and it's not seen. Like people understand the mental illness behind anorexia and bulimia. Yeah. And then the binge eating comes off as something different. It comes off as, oh, no self-control. Oh, no willpower. Oh, loves food. But they don't understand that even though those people aren't dying because they're malnourished, it's another type of a slow suicide.
Yeah. Or they'll be like, no, it's not a problem. Like you're just, you know, you're eating. Like that's it. I'm like, no, I know what eating is and I know what binge eating is.
Right, right.
And so like, I have to be conscious of like my portion size. And then now that I've been going out to restaurants, it's like, man, food is like, it's a lot.
Yeah. In the US, the portions are ginormous.
Yeah. Like dessert. I'm like, oh my God, like why is this cake is for like seven people. And before I would just eat the whole thing, but.
Right. It's really, that's true. Because I remember when my ex, who's Parisian, and I remember the first time I went to visit his family over the winter holidays, and his grandma gave me this gorgeous box of chocolates, and they were so good, and I ate the whole thing. And then my partner at the time, he was like, "What are you doing? You're supposed to eat one a day." And I was like, "What? They're so small."
He's like, "But they're chocolate."
He's like, "They're so rich. Are you kidding me?" And then lo and behold, I got very sick a couple hours later.
Yeah.
Just like exhausted and cracked. But like for me in the US, it felt like if I melted it all together, it'd be like one chocolate candy bar. You know what I mean? But culturally and how it's done there, it's like, oh my God. Like, so anyway, it's just, the whole thing is interesting.
Even my friend from Finland came to visit me like a few years ago. And he was like, he was so freaked out. He's like, "Why do you have gallons of milk in the stores?" And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "Who drinks this? Like, who, like how many people in the family need it?" You know? And like my family would buy gallons of milk, right? Right. And in the house. And he was, and I'm like, "How, what is, like, you don't see this in your country?" He's like, "No, why would you drink this much milk?" And now I look like everything in the grocery store. I'm like, "Yeah, why is everything like supersized here?"
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, Tamsin, always so fun to talk and learn more about you. And now I know the ultimate pasta sandwich.
One day I'm just going to try it.
All right. Well, thanks everyone. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that's it for today. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating, subscribe, and share it with your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at @beautyasabirthright and say hello. If you're interested in learning more about Taoist face reading, head over to elementalarchetypes.com and follow Dr. Tamsin on Instagram at @elementalarchetypes. If you like to explore beauty through your own hands, you can visit youngface.com. You may also explore Paige's Instagram at yang.face for tutorials, Chinese medicine theory, and candid thoughts on cultural appreciation.